Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, September 25th. It's been a hot, dry summer in the American Southwest. In farming communities near the Four Corners, water supplies are scarce. And during dry times like these, some people are willing to do just about anything to get more of it, including stealing it. Luke Runyon has more on the man who's charged with tracking them down. He's known as the Water Sheriff.
One morning a few years ago, Dave Hune got a call. The woman on the other end was frantic, screaming as she watched her 82-year-old husband in the yard.
And he was being beaten with a shovel by his 86-year-old neighbor.
The fight was over water. One of the men accused the other of taking more than his share from their irrigation ditch, leaving less for everyone else.
It was a situation where you had two old-timers that were very stubborn and very hard-headed, and they were bound and determined to do it their way, and the other party was saying, no, you won't.
Hune is a sheriff's deputy in Montezuma County, Colorado, bordering Utah, Arizona, and New Mexico. And unlike other local law enforcement officers throughout the West, Hune specializes in the complex world of water law. For the last decade, he's crisscrossed the county, responding to hundreds of calls.
And I'll walk up to the front door or out in that field to talk to whoever I need to talk to, and they'll turn around and look at me and give me a funny look and say, you're that water cop, aren't you? So I've kind of gotten used to that.
So how do people go about stealing water? Well, one method, you drop a pump into an irrigation ditch, turn it on, and if you don't have the water rights to do that, it's a crime. Hune has confiscated dozens of pumps, storing them in the evidence room.
And as they started to pile up, I was told not to do that anymore. So.
Method number two. You have rights to water, but not a lot. So you take more than you're allowed. Hune says this one's harder to prove. And I wanted to meet one of those people who's had neighbors stealing water.
Cortez MC-209.
Inside his black Ford pickup, Hune says depending on the nature of the crime, he'll either give a warning or write a ticket, just like a traffic stop.
People were shocked. They were like, you're kidding me, right? You're going to cite me over water? It's like, yes, it's a valuable commodity in this state.
Hello there.
76-year-old farmer Bob Schuster grows wine grapes and hay, and also runs a plumbing supply store in the county's biggest city, Cortez. He's dressed in denim overalls, sporting a black and gray beard. He says water issues pop up every year, but droughts make people desperate.
Just people are basically, and these are good people, basically dishonest.
Schuster's farm is at the end of an irrigation ditch with several more users upstream. If they're taking more water than they're entitled to, it dries up before it reaches his crops.
They look out their fields, they see they need water, and they take the water going through, it's not theirs. They don't consider the neighbor needs his water.
Because livelihoods here are so dependent on water, emotions run high when accusations get thrown around. In true Hatfield and McCoy fashion, Schuster says he's had guns pointed at him, shovels swung at his head, and been sucker punched in fights with neighbors over water.
Sheriff's office, may I help you?
Right over here.
Got it.
As the day winds down, Deputy Dave Hune says violent skirmishes have declined since the county started enforcing water law. But dry years add pressure on farmers and ranchers trying to make ends meet.
Historically, we've had people killed over water in the state of Colorado. We have in this county.
His job has all the makings of a tall tale from the Wild West. But the reality is, he's in a part of the country where water scarcity is more a story about the future, not the past.
We don't want the violence. We don't want the fighting between families and between friends. We want to be able to resolve it in a nonviolent way.
And as his community becomes drier, Hune knows he'll be spending more time, not less, keeping fights over water from blowing up. I'm Luke Runyon.
This story is part of ongoing coverage of the Colorado River, produced in partnership with public media station KUNC in northern Colorado, with financial support by the Walton Family Foundation. Leadville's historic Tabor Opera House has been chosen among 19 other historic sites in the country to compete for a 2018 Partners in Preservation grant. KDNK's Raleigh Burley has more.
The Tabor Opera House, built in 1879, is in the running to receive $150,000 towards its rehabilitation. The building was acquired by the City of Leadville in 2016, transferring its ownership from private to public. The city now operates a number of programs in the space while raising the more than $8.5 million needed to address decades of deferred maintenance.
The Tabor Opera House has been at the forefront of historic preservation in Colorado, and it's gotten national attention, and it's become this poster child of historic preservation.
Destiny Lukanoff is manager of the Leadville Main Street program.
So this is a national campaign, so we are going up against some bigger communities and communities that are the same size, but it is determined through popular demand. So every community is vying for as many votes as possible, and we want everybody to vote Tabor.
Beginning Monday, September 24th through October 26th, people can vote every day online at voteyourmainstreet.com/Leadville.
You vote once a day, and there are 5 votes that you can use.
The city and the Tabor Opera House Preservation Foundation also received $500,000 from the National Park Service's Save America's Treasures for Historic Preservation Fund towards a $1.5 million project to restore 2 outside facades.
Leadville is fighting so much and so hard to maintain this as a cultural center for our community, and it ain't over until the fat lady sings.
For KDNK News, I'm Raleigh Burley.
And in a follow-up, police officials are still investigating 2 dead bodies discovered outside of Hotchkiss early Sunday morning. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, Delta County Sheriff Fred McKee said both victims were Delta County residents in their mid to late 20s. They are believed to have been friends. The deaths were originally reported as caused by gunshots. Autopsies on both men were performed Monday, but results have not been released. When asked if the scenario looks like a murder-suicide, McKee said that the possibility exists. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, September 25th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.